This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
If you guys notice a little bit of a delay today, Nicole and I are each home for the holidays, but we took our fancy microphones home with us so you wouldn't be stuck podcastless. In what can only be described as an absolute butthole of a year, you may find yourself trying to reclaim holiday joy through food. So if you can trick your taste buds into thinking everything is fine, you'll be fine. We're all fine. Eat the green bean casserole and it'll all be fine. Anyways, today we're racking our eggnoggin for the best holiday food. This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendizade.
And today we are talking about the best holiday food. So what had happened here, Nicole, is we recently had a holiday called Thanksgiving, right? We sure did. We're normally all the family comes around. You create this big old great meal that is steeped in some form of American tradition, at least. And I had made my favorite holiday casserole, which is green bean. It is
And
you still never had it?
You made me make it one time? No, you made me make it one time. And I think I did a pretty good job, if you ask me. I just used three ingredients. It was a little bit of those frozen French green beans, and then a little bit of the canned Campbell soup, and then a lot of French onions.
I remember I criticized you for something, though.
I used frozen beans, and you said, you gotta use canned, little lady. And I'm like, hey, don't call me little lady.
Hey, Dutz, use the stuff in the can. It's cheaper. It'll shave margins by 5%, as I took a long drag of an unfiltered cigarette indoors.
Exactly.
No, I do stand by that the canned green beans make the best. This year for Thanksgiving, I made my green beans fresh, which was a mistake. I tried to cook them in a lot of salt water for like 15 minutes until you didn't have to chew them to recreate the like effect of canned, but it wasn't quite right. But that said, green bean casserole, three ingredients, green beans, condensed cream and mushroom soup, and French's fried onions, to me is one of those things that I will only eat once a year, possibly twice on Thanksgiving and Christmas. But it is like one of my favorite dishes. And so it got me thinking, what are these holiday specific dishes that you really crave, but you still will not actually eat it outside of the holiday season? Because there's a lot, if you think about it.
But is green bean casserole, is that your answer? Green bean casserole?
No, it's not, because I had to do a lot of digging. I had to do a lot of digging in my soul.
Okay, so what did you find out?
I found out after a lot of soul searching. You know, I consulted my hypnotherapist. I consulted my astrologer. I consulted my astronomer, and they were like, sir, we don't do that. You're confusing us with astrology. And I was like, listen, star boy, tell me what my favorite food is.
That's same person, right? All your hypnotherapist, your astronomer, and your astrologer are all the same person, right?
Yeah, Carl. Found him on Craigslist. he's a good dude.
Yeah.
He got a studio apartment in Van Nuys. He does all three out of them.
Wow.
Yeah. No, he got one of those like telescopes that he got on QVC.
A Carl of all trades, if you will.
Stuffing. The answer is stuffing for me. Stuffing is... What do you mean? Carl told me that.
Why?
Carl was like... Don't laugh. Nicole, this is a holiday tradition. I have like positive emotions associated with stuffing. You're laughing.
Why
my
is
opinion.
It stuffing? Why?
I think the same reason you laughed is the same reason why it's my favorite holiday food.
Okay.
Because it's the most nonsensical food. Right?
Wet bread.
It's wet bread. It's wet bread. It's like wet bread soaked in animal fat and juice and then just like hydrated. Also,
you could
literally like microwave stuffing, which makes it infinitely funnier to me. Right?
Like you could. You could serve microwaved stuffing? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, you could make the perfect stuffing in the microwave as well, because all you need to do, you just need the bread to, like, hydrate from the juices, and you need some of that to evaporate, so the bread's, like, this perfect, like, kind of wet but dry, amorphous, solid consistency. Because, like, stovetop stuffing.
Non-Newtonian fluid. Stuffing is a non-Newtonian fluid.
And once you chew it in your mouth and it just dissolves into, like, a slime, you know, it's beautiful. It is absolutely delicious, and I know so many people that love stuffing. However, for centuries, Nicole, centuries, the stuffing industry, big stuffing, the lobbyist group, has been trying to get people to eat stuffing year-round, and they can't, because it is such a nonsensical food that you only eat during the holidays, and to me, that is the essence of what a perfect holiday food is.
I don't even care about my opinion right now, because stuffing is so... There's so many iterations of stuffing that's, like, bothering me. Okay, your ideal stuffing, explain it to me. Number one, is it stuffed inside of an animal or is it served in a casserole dish?
Absolutely not. Stuffing has nothing to do with actually stuffing inside of an animal anymore. It is simply wet bread. I make it in a casserole dish.
Okay.
I bake it, but now that I'm thinking about it, I wish I would have just microwaved it. I get really simple. I've made a lot of complicated stuffings. I've done, like, the oyster and cornbread stuffing with toasted hazelnuts.
Yeah.
I've done all that, but to me, that distracts from the beauty of stuffing, which is animal fat and wet bread. So
okay.
I actually used lodge bread this year.
Okay.
Because I happened to have a bunch of pre-cubed up, dried out lodge bread after I made croutons from an old loaf.
Sure.
So I had that because I was just doing the Thanksgiving dinner for two, right, with me and Julia. And I took the turkey drippings and I put that in a pot with a bunch of sautéed mirepoix, a little extra chicken stock, a little straight-up MSG, and then, like, random poultry herbs, sage, thyme, a lot of black pepper in there, and then a little bit of nutmeg, and then I tossed it in all of the bread, and then I baked it off just until it was that perfect non-Newtonian solid, all the liquid soaked up inside the bread, and it was easily the best thing on the table. Like, we all agreed that the stuffing was by far the best thing on the table.
We all... You and Julia.
And her cat. Her cat who has become our surrogate son that we talked
Pippin.
To. Pippin
the
loved
cat.
It.
So funny. Okay, that's really interesting. So it's been five, six minutes into the podcast. Are you going to ask me what mine is? Or is this just the Josh show?
Yeah, Nicole, why is your favorite holiday food also stuffing? Please answer in 30 seconds or less.
Okay, it's not stuffing, but it's definitely a carb. It's panettone.
That is the most 80-year-old named Blanche answer I've ever heard. They're like, oh, my best gal friend Maeve dated an Italian man in 1946, and he introduced me to panettone. And
dude, that, like, it's delicious. Come on. It's like fruitcake's classier cousin that studied abroad in Italy.
It's like fruitcake's worst cousin, in my opinion.
Worst?
It's just like dry bread with some like fruit.
It's not dry. Wait. It's not dry. It's beautifully hydrated. It has a tinge of sourness, and it's studded with candied fruit and nuts and chocolate sometimes. And then if you go to Italy, you can get it stuffed with tiramisu filling and candied oranges. And the world of panettone is so beautiful and so vast, just like stuffing, Josh, except mine is classier. Like everything else in life, mine is a little classier than yours.
I'm not going to argue against the classiness on this. Anything said in an Italian accent is infinitely classier, and you can't say stuffing with an Italian, like, estuffing.
Estuffing.
I'm Giada De Laurentiis, and today we are making a stuffing. It just doesn't quite work.
No, but panettone is beautiful. Can I tell you why? It's the perfect leftover, too. Have you ever made a panettone panini with your leftover meats inside of it?
No, that sounds brutal in the best way.
Yeah, like, okay, imagine
candied, like a candied fruit and meat sandwich.
Okay, you know, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound as appetizing.
No, no, fruit meat is great. Nicole, you're in Persian culture, fruit meat is big.
I eat a lot of fruit meat, so much fruit meat. Lots I love fruit meat. Of fruit
got,
meat.
Got the barberries with the chicken and the tahine.
Yeah, I just had that the other day, actually. It was real good.
I'm so jealous. I've been eating tacos for the last 6 days straight.
Sorry.
I'm kind of sick of it.
Listen, if you want, my mom can give you some. She can drive it to you. She has nothing
send,
to do.
Send Shala over here. We never hang out. Me and your mom never hang out anymore.
Yeah, anymore?
Oh, Nicole. How often do you eat panettone?
I only get it for the season. It's only around during the holiday season because...
But it's like every year you look forward to it.
Of course, yeah. Well, I used to get the Trader Joe's stuff, which is also really, really dank. But I've matured into getting the $40 panettone loaves from Italy. Yes.
Wait, hold on. That's a game changer. This loaf of dry fruitcake...
It's from Italy!
Costs $40?
It's from
you're getting
Italy.
Scammed. You know how much it costs to make stuffing? Like 38 cents if you do
yeah,
it right.
Yeah, no, you're a scam. No, you know what? Sometimes during the holiday season, you need to do something a little special for yourself. Maybe it's locking yourself in a room and recording a podcast. Maybe it's getting a $40 panettone from the local Italian shop. You don't know my life.
This is our form of self-care, to get on a Zoom call and yell at each other a little suck at home.
Exactly. I think panettone is special in the way that it's a gift. It comes in a beautiful box. You unwrap the box and it's this gorgeous loaf. And then have you ever seen a video of panettone being made? How they flip it upside down and they let
no,
it
No, never. This is the most panettone exposure. I've only had the panettone from Trader Joe's. And okay. I bought that like once. I think I've had panettone once in my life. I got it from Trader Joe's when I was like a kid because I was like, oh my God, look at this delicious moist cake filled with fruits and nuts. And then I sliced it into it and I was like, oh, that's called old bread. That's okay.
It's not old. It's delicious with a cup of coffee, an espresso, a little bit of warm milk. It's phenomenal.
You know how I only enjoy wet foods though.
Okay, dip it in the coffee, bro. What do you mean?
Do you think my body doesn't produce enough saliva?
That's not true, because I see you talk a lot, and sometimes when you talk too much, you kind of get some spitballs in the side of your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm talking about food a lot. I talk about food a lot, and my mouth waters when I talk. I shouldn't have to apologize for that.
No, I'm saying your saliva production, from my viewpoint, is normal.
Nicole, I think your saliva production is also normal, and I think
Thank
it's important
you.
For coworkers to be able to say that to each other, you know? I think it's important for our workflow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we talking
about?
Do
you need to go to a doctor? You need to go to a glandular doctor?
I do need to go to a doctor. I've had some gland issues before.
You don't sweat. You don't sweat from your armpits.
I don't. I only sweat from my lower body. Well, below the belly button is what I consider lower body. Because that's the prime range is in between belly button and legs is where the sweat comes. And it's
so
mostly in the back.
So when you work out, like your chest uh-huh. doesn't get sweaty.
No.
Do your arms get sweaty?
Hold on. So the chest will get sweaty a little bit from sweat dripping down because I sweat from my head. Let's be clear. And okay. then I sweat from below my belly button. But there is about a, I'm measuring now, about a 2.5 foot gap in which sweat does not go. And also, but you know, eventually if you get so sweaty, this is going somewhere. It's not, but let's roll with it. Eventually you'll get so sweaty that your whole body is covered in sweat because if you're upside down, the sweat's coming from your lower body, soaking your chest. If you're right side up, the sweat is coming from your head. But
yeah.
When I was bigger, I used to have very prominent nipples, like kind of okay. conically shaped nipples. And so my shirt, the nipples, the sweat could never crest the areola to get to the nipples. And so I would just have dry spots on my nipples when I sweat and I would get made fun of in high school by my teammates.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, I do think your glandular problem might be connected to the lack of saliva that you produce, which is why you like wet foods, which is why you like stuffing. But not everybody is built like you, Josh.
I understand.
Stuffing is gross. Wait a second. Stuffing is actually nasty when I think about it. Have you ever had bad stuffing where people just put like raw carrots and like chestnuts and stuff and like cornbread and you're just like, what are you doing, Kathleen?
Yeah, no. That's my family. That's why I'm not allowed back at Thanksgivings anymore. It's why everyone doesn't talk to me is because I talk crap on their Thanksgiving food on Twitter once. And I didn't know that one of their dental practices followed me on Twitter.
Oh,
I hope the dental practice is doing fine. But You know, but they did bring stuffing with just a bunch of raw cranberries sliced in half and tossed in there.
Yeah,
and
I never understood that.
No, stop. That's what I'm saying. People overcomplicate stuffing. But to me, the best part of stuffing is its pure simplicity, that it is wet bread, it's animal fat, and it's a food that you would never eat in any other time of the year. Do you think panettone would be
doing that?
Who's doing what?
Who's doing that simplicity that you're talking about?
I would venture to guess that a majority of Americans are eating stovetop stuffing or Mrs. Cubbison's. Mrs. Cubbison's in stovetop. Mrs. Cubbison is the Laura Scudder and stovetop is the Skippy.
Oh my God, I love Laura Scudder's. Wow, what a great reference. Thanks for doing that for me.
Yeah, I'm good at analogies. That's why I got a good SAT score.
Wow. Way to brag about taking your SATs.
Hold on. Don't take that out of context. Back to my glandular disorder and why I like wet bread. I believe it slides down the throat easy without the lubrication of saliva, making it better than panettone.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
If panettone were available year-round, would you still eat it, or is it strictly the scarcity?
That's a great question. You know, I've never lived in a world where panettone's been around year-long, so I can't really answer that.
Is it strictly a holiday thing in Italy as well, do you know?
I think so. I think it's a seasonal thing. Like, who eats fruitcake in July?
That's true. Dude, I do love... Fruitcake is one of those foods like Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
It got so maligned through pop culture for all of us growing up. You know, like, oh, fruitcake, you pass it around as a gift. It's gross. And all that. Fruitcake is absolutely delicious. Like, the real dense stuff with just, like, the nuts and all the candied fruit and all the spices is soaked in brandy.
Yeah, good brandy soak. That's exactly what I was just about to say. Yeah, but that is some good stuff.
But you still think panettone is better than that?
I do, because it's not sickly sweet. It can take on multiple forms.
Mm.
It's a chameleon of studded fruit cakes. Does that work? That works.
I think it does work. I think I don't think it's actually glandular related, but like typically like dry, crusty pastries that are pretty popular. I mean, in the U.S., of course, but also I think like outside, right? Like that whole culture where you'll eat like a concha and you'll like dip it into the cafe de olla, you know, stuff like that, where I rarely ever sit down to enjoy a meal.
Okay.
If that makes sense. You know, I never languish with my cup of coffee and I never get to like enjoy that panettone. And if I am eating something for like pure enjoyment's sake, like a Thanksgiving dinner, like stuffing, it is typically just like a gigantic mess of foods with no pretense around it. And I am just absolutely slurping down. I ate 1.5 pounds of turkey this Thanksgiving.
Why?
Just 24 ounces. It was so good because, one, I used our method that we found out on Myth Munchers, the greatest named show of all time, where you wet brine and then you baste the heck out of it in butter all the time. And wow, what a delicious turkey breast that was.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I like these kind of small foods with cultural ritual around them. Like you dip it in the coffee and you're enjoying good conversation and it's a gift, is something that doesn't speak to my personal interests. Also, well, I've given stuffing as a gift.
Well, you know, panettone is meant to be given as a gift. You do know that, right?
That's
bring
lame.
It when they're to the holiday, you were saying. Take it away, boss. I saw you shaking your head. You were upset about something.
What? No. I was saying, like, if it's a culturally prescribed gift, to me it means less. Whereas stuffing means a lot. Because you're not supposed to give stuffing as a gift, and that's why it's important, right? It's like getting an obligatory Red Lobster gift card from Nan on Christmas. Like, it's nice to have, but it's like how much thought was in. I'm just flaming my entire family. I love my Red Lobster gift card from Nana. But you know what I mean? Like, how much thought did it take to send a gift card or a panettone versus like, hey, I made you a personally customized stuffing, which I did while trying to court a woman in college. and she thought it was really weird. So I guess I see your point. So I just showed up to her door with a tray of stuffing.
I'll tell you the truth. When if someone gives me a homemade gift, wow, I love that so much more than something like a gift card. But at the same time, you giving me stuffing for my birthday? You're weird, bro.
No, no, but what if, Nicole, what if I took all the elements of your personality, all the things that made Nicole Nicole, and I was able to put that into a brick of wet bread? Is that
beautiful? Josh, do it right now. Do it right now.
I know what
Make me into stuffing right now. I want to know what components of me goes into the stuffing. You brought this upon yourself.
Okay, so one, you're a very elegant person, right? So I'm probably going to need to use some sort of elegant shape, right? I wouldn't just microwave the stuffing for you, Nicole. I would take, like, you know the bundt pans that we have that aren't shaped just like a normal bundt cake, but they got the very intricate design?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. I would take that, and I would use that as my vehicle. Of course, you got to use some sort of nice, elegant, fancy bread. I might, you know, go to Clark Street and get a bunch of brioche. I think once you dehydrate brioche, it really soaks up flavors. And then, you know, I don't want to define you by your cultural heritage, but I would probably, you know, throw some sort of nods in there, right? A little bit of fenugreek, maybe a little bit of preserved lime just for that little bit of acid, right? And then, you know, maybe go a little bit bougier on the root vegetables. Hit you up with some fennel in there instead of onion. Use some of those like purple rainbow carrots. Maybe a little bit of radish involved. You know, I don't know. But what I'm saying, isn't this beautiful? What are you going to do with a panettone? Oh, I put a different fruit in there. No, get out of here. Stuffing is the most elegant and communicative food.
Stuffing. You can't even say it with a straight face. Why don't you call it dressing? Why do you call it stuffing?
I feel like if you call it dressing, then you are acknowledging the possibility that you may one day stuff it into a bird, which I will never do.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Dressing is the mentality that it's going into a bird, but stuffing isn't? That doesn't make any sense.
No. The opposite. Typically, and I believe in the South, this is what they do, where if it's not inside the bird, they call it dressing. Mm-hmm. But if it's inside the bird, they call it stuffing. Obviously, that makes sense. But that implies, if you're saying dressing, that implies that the possibility that you would have stuffed this into a bird, like, you're not calling it stuffing because you didn't stuff it into a bird, whereas I was never, ever going to stuff anything into a bird, meaning I don't even need the category of dressing in my life.
Got it.
So I'm reclaiming stuffing because I will never stuff it into a bird. I did stuff a whole chicken with a stuffing made from Domino's pizza. That was pretty good.
Wee bit. Oh, I don't feel good.
I ate a lot of eggs. We may never see. keep that one in the edit. Nicole, we may never see eye to eye on panettone versus stuffing. I just don't have enough panettone experience. I am very interested in eating this tiramisu-filled panettone and paying $40 for it, because I think if you spend a lot of money on food, it feels more special.
Okay, let me tell you this. What if I got you a 22-pound panettone for $349 by Borsari, and also it had a... Let me tell you what it has in it. It has orange peel, raisins, and citron in a Borsari box. You want one of these?
Yeah. Send it. When's it going to get here?
I don't know, but there's also... Wait, there's so many. I'm looking online right now. There's one at Neiman Marcus for $48. There's a limited edition panettone by the Flamingo Estate for $75.
What do you mean limited edition panettone? All food is limited edition. It goes bad.
No, it's not.
What do you mean? What do you mean a limited edition panettone? That's like a hype drop, like they're doing Yeezys for dry fruit bread?
Yes, that's exactly it. Yo, look at it. This is the tiramisu one. I know you guys can't see it, but dude, look at this. It has little striations of tiramisu filling inside. Doesn't that just make you feel all good on the inside? Makes your giblets all jiggly?
My giblets are jiggling right now, Nicole. They're jiggling. I did not know that the world of panettone was this vast. I didn't know that there was like so much... you know, cultural meaning kind of shoved in there and how cool you could make it. I am genuinely serious. Like, I want to immerse myself into panettone culture now.
Stuffing really
culture isn't much.
No, that's not true. I'm sure you just told me you would make me into a beautiful Clark Street bread studded with saffron, whatever. But like, that also exists in the panettone world. At the end of the day, panettone is a vessel. And your creativity that you pour into it is what makes it unique. Same goes for stuffing. I think that's where you and I actually have a little bit of, what is it called when two things come together? Unity?
Unity.
Yeah, we have unity.
Unity, that's a unity. Shout out Queen Latifah coming on the show.
Yeah.
You're saying that we are the same. And if it weren't for my potential glandular disorder that causes possibly a lack of saliva, then we may enjoy the same holiday food.
Exactly, Josh. It's one of my favorite mantras, actually. Repeat after me. Same, same, but different.
Same, same, but different, considering a possible glandular disorder.
I'm telling you.
Look at that.
We're the same.
What are other contenders? What are other holiday food contenders for you?
Well, also, there's something you should know. I am a child of immigrants, so everything that I enjoy is seen through a specific filter. So when you say stuffing, stuffing is something very new to me. Because we traditionally don't do stuffing. We just take cherry rice and shove it in a turkey or a bird and call it a day.
An albaloo polo?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And that's kind of all of my knowledge of stuffing before I went to my first quote-unquote not Persian Thanksgiving. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
What's this wet bread?
Another thing? I don't know.
I mean, latkes are a big one.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hanukkah. Latkes are huge. Love a good latke. I love a good sufganiyot. I love sufganiyot.
I didn't grow up eating sufganiyot. We would just get jelly donuts from the local Cambodian-owned donut shop and then call it sufganiyot.
That's the same
thing.
And
I'm fine with it. It's pretty much the same thing.
Of course it is. Sufganiyot is just a jelly donut. There's nothing else special about it. Except one time I made a banana and Nutella sufganiyot in my own comfort of my own home. Wow, it was good.
Someone brought something up about the Bacon Is Bacon Overrated podcast. That was because we were trying to figure out what the food now that is super overrated and everything. And someone mentioned Nutella. Someone mentioned Nutella. And I think avocado could also probably be
okay
in that category as well.
I love avocado more than anything.
Oh, Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Where were all these good answers for us when we're actually recording that podcast?
I don't know. Lost in the sauce, I guess.
Lost in the sauce. What I started doing with latkes, to me, which sort of disempowered them. I still absolutely love latkes entirely. And latkes are different. Shout out to Helen Rosner on Twitter, who said that the best latkes are hash browns from Denny's, which I don't necessarily disagree with. But to me, a good latke shouldn't be completely crispy. There's got to be a little bit of squish from the onion wet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's got to be that little bit of squish. I don't like my latkes too crispy. Yeah. I also started in my first year in culinary school, I made latkes for everybody because I was the only Jewish kid. And then I put duck fat in them. It was really good. It was a good time.
Is that kosher? I guess it's pretty much just just schmaltz. It's duck schmaltz. It's schmaltz that went to grad school.
It's just schmaltz. It's all just schmaltz, Josh.
But I started making latkes year round because I was like, look, I got potatoes. I got other root vegetables. I was using butternut squash. I made some beet latkes that were really dank. And to me, it kind of took the specialness away from like a good Hanukkah latke. Because now when I'm going to be making latkes, you know, I'm gonna be like, well, I've had these. I had these in May. Where stuffing, to me, I don't have that. I refuse to make it outside of Thanksgiving, potentially Christmas.
I eat latkes all the time. Persians call them kuku sivzamini.
Kuku sivzamini?
Yeah, sivzamini means apple from under the ground.
Whoa. So like pomme de terre, like the literally the translation in French as well. Interesting.
Exactly. So we have kuku sivzamini like once a month at my house, so I eat latkes all the time too. So I guess that's why they're not that special to me. But I guess sufganiyot is special because my mom doesn't allow us to have anything above the limit of sugar in our house. So like the fact that we have sufganiyot in the house is a trip. Like if there's sufganiyot in the house, it's gone in like 60 seconds. So
mooncakes.
Well, I don't know if you know this. My dad would go to China once every 3 months. Did you know that?
No.
My dad.
That's very cool.
Would go to China so much that he literally would bring, like, it was amazing. Like, he would go to China so much, we would have mooncakes once a year from China.
When I lived in Little Saigon for the Tet Festival, I suppose the Vietnamese version of Chinese New Year. Is that what I don't know if I'm being culturally accurate, but yeah, we used to get the mooncakes with the salted egg yolk inside.
Yeah.
And it's just this just like beautiful pastry crust around just like, you know, this kind of like wet filling of like nuts and bean paste. And then the salted egg yolk just cuts right through it. That is a fantastic holiday only tradition.
Wow. I think I like mooncakes more than I like panettone.
I think I like mooncakes more than I like stuff. My mouth is literally, Nicole, I don't have a glandular disorder. My mouth is watering. It's filled with saliva thinking about mooncakes.
Dude, yeah, I think mooncakes might be my favorite holiday thing. Well, when we think about holidays, what about a box of chocolates from Russell Stover's?
Oh, that's a good one. No, there's a, Shout out to Nana out there in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Well, she's in Florida now, but when she's in Allentown, there's a local chocolate maker, I believe, called Joshua Early, maybe?
Wow, they were that who you were named after?
Yeah, I was named after the Russell Stover of Allentown, Pennsylvania. And we used to get the box of those chocolates. And I remember when I was a kid, like, trying to, like, leave all the harder caramels for my brother because I just wanted the sweet, gushy buttercreams.
Uh-huh.
That's a special thing. And again, never had any of those outside the holidays.
What are some other foods we eat?
Well, I'm thinking about, like, you know, my Christmas tradition. So, like, you know, I grew up, obviously my mom is Jewish and my dad is, like, white. Just, like, American, like, not Christian at all, but, you know, like, Christmas celebrating American person. So, you know, we used to grow up just eating, like, garbage ham on Christmas. But now my brother and I have really made it a point to take up the Chinese food on Christmas.
Oh, thing. Sure. Yeah.
And so for the last couple of years, we've gone to this, it's a Uyghur restaurant in Laguna Hills, California, from the Xinjiang province. So it's like Chinese halal food.
Very cool.
You get a lot of Jews there too, because halal and kosher share a lot of the same rules. And so we've been eating like halal Chinese food.
That's awesome.
On the last couple of Christmases, which is absolutely fantastic. They got that like puffy sesame scallion bread. Mm, so good. Tofu in the brown sauce.
I unfortunately have never had Uyghur food, but I've always wanted to try it.
Ugh, so good. Oh my God, the cumin lamb. Nicole, you gotta get down with the cumin lamb on Jewish Christmas.
Okay, fine. I'm down. Tell me when and where to go.
Oh, next year, Nicole. Next year in Jerusalem.
next year in a Uyghur restaurant.
Next year in a Uyghur restaurant in South Orange County. Other honorable mentions. I feel like as this comes to a close, we need a eggnog.
Ugh, what? Ew. I tried it once. It tastes like weird throw up.
I like weird throw up. It's like a creme anglaise. Pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie. That got to be up there.
You know I like pumpkin pie.
Tamales. Tamales aren't Christmas specific, though. Tamales are just a thing that's like common in the holidays. And I always make tamales. Sure to get one at El Pollo Loco every time they do Tamale Fest.
They do tamales? What? El Pollo Loco has tamales? It's crazy.
Oh my God. They deep fry a tamale and put it on a bowl of rice and call it a crispy tamale bowl. You got to get down to the El Pollo Loco for Christmas.
Okay.
Japan, they go to KFC for Christmas. That's a big thing.
And they
make like a whole show of it. I like that. Popeyes started doing, now we're just getting into the fast food discussion. But yeah, Popeyes does a whole Cajun turkey now, I think.
Yeah, I've seen the ads for it. Looks good.
You got the Jewish brisket. Brisket never been my favorite. You got the tzimmis.
I don't need Simmons. I don't need Russell Simmons. I don't need Gene Simmons on the holidays. Well, I guess that's just an Ashkenazi thing.
What I think we've learned today, Nicole, is that I should go to a medical doctor.
Agreed.
That's probably it. And also, I really want to get into panettone. And I love that there are so many traditions from so many different cultures around certain holidays. And it really does make food more important, and especially during these uncertain times, which if I get another email from a publicist that says during these uncertain times, I'm going to bash my head into a wall just to make it a little bit more certain. But, you know, it is something that I think people can kind of like reclaim a sense of normalcy and kind of remind themselves of traditions. And for me, that tradition just happens to be wet bread. But I'm excited to also get into your dry fruit bread tradition.
I have a great idea. How about I buy you a nice, beautiful panettone? We turn it into a bread pudding, which is stuffing, but sweet.
Nicole,
good idea?
As a brilliant mind once said to me, same, same, but different. Insofar as you have a glandular disorder, potentially. But again, not confirmed, because I should see a doctor.
It's Sophia Franklin, and if you don't already know, listen up. My mini-series is live now, each and every Monday, and the only person missing is you. We're dating, we're dumping, we're learning, and we're tapping into all the feels that originally brought us together. Listen and follow Sophia with an F on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the internet. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions are like casseroles.
All right, so we got at Morgan Kip 323. Almost everyone puts too much milk on their cereal. The best ratio is 78% cereal and 2% milk. I don't know if they meant 22% milk or if they just think that every bowl of cereal should be 80% and the 20% is negative space to prevent
you
overflow.
You need negative space. No, you need negative space. This makes sense to me mathematically in my head.
Okay, so do they mean by volume? So if you're going like one cup of Fruit Loops, which is going to be, again, a majority air, and then one cup of milk, or are you talking about like 400 grams of Fruit Loops versus 400 grams of milk? Because those are two very different things. Two very different things. I will say that.
You know, whenever you say, are you trying to get me to graph a parabola right now? Because that's not going to happen. I'm so sorry. I don't know what you
take. You take the sine curve and then you set that on a negative regression analysis. I will say what I used to do. There was a pay by weight yogurt bar, like before Yogurtland took over everything.
Yeah, that was
near my high school, and they have like Captain Crunch and stuff, right? Uh-huh. And so I used to just fill a large bowl of Captain Crunch. I would pay about 30 cents because it's by weight and it weighs nothing. Then I'd go to Starbucks next door and I would pour the free milk into my cereal, and I got a bowl of cereal for 30 cents. And that's just smart. That's economics.
Yeah, for sure. Are you the guy that wrote the book Freakonomics? Is that you?
The one with the apple
and the orange, and it's like sewn together. That's you, huh?
Yeah, the hockey players.
Yeah.
They're all hot. You gotta be hot to be a hockey player. That's what that guy said. That's what I remember from that book. I think I see what they're saying with putting too much milk on the cereal, because an intricate part of the cereal eating process is that the milk is then flavored at the end. If you put too much milk, it's going to be too dilute. But if you put too much milk in your cereal and you got too much leftover milk that's not flavored enough, you just pour more cereal into that spent milk.
Yes. I eat old people milk, so all of my cereals are dry. So this opinion does not have to do with me at all. So whatever.
I'm an old person, Nicole. Can you milk me?
Stop. Let's see what's next. That person who reads books, cheddar is the best cheese, and you can quote me on that. Yeah, it's pretty good. I like cheddar.
Yeah, we literally did quote you on that. It's okay.
I like it. It's not, I mean, like, you really want to get into, like, the inner workings of, like, cheeses, like... Yeah, like, it's the best all-purpose cheese, but, like, it's not the best cheese.
You know what? I'd probably disagree. I'd say Monterey Jack. I think Monterey Jack melts better. Oh. I recently got a sharp cheddar that I was very excited. Tillamook. I love Tillamook cheese.
I love me
a good sharp cheddar. But it was too sharp to melt properly, so I tried broiling it on something, and it just broke. And I was like, man, never would have happened with Monterey Jack.
Okay, I take that back. Colby Jack is my favorite cheese because I remembered that I'm a Gemini and Colby Jack is the Gemini of cheese. Well, cheddar is a cancer. Very, you know, you're right. You got the sharpness that can screw it all up. You got the like mild one and meek and mild. No one likes that. So yeah, cancers are cheddar cheese, Geminis are Colby Jack. What are you, a Taurus? Taurus is American craft singles.
I see you've been talking to my astrologer, astronomer, Craigslist friend. Thank you.
Carl
and Van Nuys. I forgot his name. I wanted to call him Craig, but that was just a list that I found him on. All right. We got at Earth to Erica, Eggo waffles plus Kraft American cheese slices smothered in syrup. Yup.
I don't know.
I don't know if this is a yup. You know what this is, though? This is just like a vegetarian McGriddles.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's what this is. Oh wow, you're right.
You know how I don't prefer McGriddles, but you know when vegetarians go to In-N-Out and they're like, "Give me a grilled cheese," and all that is a hamburger without the hamburger.
Yeah, I love the grilled cheese. I used to be a grilled cheese girl up until like 2011. So skirt.
It's great. I like putting fries in it. But that's what this is. That's like if you go to McDonald's. I guess you know it's waffles, not McGriddle pancakes, whatever. But you'd be like, "Yo, give me a McGriddles without the egg and without the sausage." And then you just get like cheese and syrup and pancakes, which is not a flavor that I particularly enjoy, but I respect your want for it.
I think you're correct. I think initially I was like, ew, this is disgusting. But now when you break it down to what it actually is, I'm down. I'm down AF. Molins SC00. Bread and butter pickles are the best pickles. All my friends hate them, but they are my favorite. So you guys have a group chat where you talk about your least favorite pickles? That's crazy, bro.
You ain't got a pickle chat? I'm on pickle chat. Pickle chat sounds like a dirty app. I don't like that.
Pickle chat. My favorite pickles? A kosher dill.
Kosher
Big
dill.
Old kosher dill.
Maybe a spicy kosher dill.
You know there's a rapper called Kosher Dills?
No, are they any good?
That's
a resounding yes from Nicole. We're never going to get kosher dills on the show if you have an attitude like that.
No, I've never actually
heard
kosher dills music. I just know that they exist.
Yeah, bread and butter pickles, little too sweet for my taste. They have their place occasionally, but it's not my favorite.
Shani CB23, why do I have to drink more water when I drink so much tea that has water in it? Are you talking about how, like, there's a recommended 8 glasses of water a day situation? Is this what this is?
They are, and I agree. I have never agreed with an opinion casserole more.
Okay, well, like, yeah. I think staying hydrated is really important, and I feel like you can determine what your hydration is. Like, it can be fizzy bubalech, what I call LaCroix.
Thank you.
It can be tea. It can be maybe not coffee, because I know coffee has dehydrating qualities in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, something like tea or iced tea.
Or Diet Coke.
No, because
here's the thing. Diet Coke, the number one ingredient is water.
Josh, I'm not going to argue about that. Hold on.
You can break this down into, like, different properties. Like, every time, say you eat, like, a giant salad filled with iceberg lettuce, right? That's, like, 95% water or whatever. Like, you're getting hydrated from that salad. So say you drink a Diet Coke, you can break that down into, like, if you separated the ingredients from a Diet Coke and consumed them separately, right?
Uh-huh.
Then that's the same thing as just drinking a can of Diet Coke. So if you drink, say 12 ounces of Diet Coke, that would be 11 and a half ounces of just pure water.
And then
you got to weigh, are the other things you're doing dehydrating you? Caffeine can dehydrate you, but there's not nearly enough in there to actually dehydrate you. You got a little bit of sodium, which can actually help you retain water. Hello, Gatorade. It's got electrolytes in it. And then a bunch of, what we could colloquialize into the term poison in artificial sweeteners. But it's delicious. No, you can drink all the tea you want, all the Diet Coke you want. You never have to drink plain water. I haven't drank plain water in years.
A disclaimer, we are not doctors. We are not nutritionists. We are just two podcasters looking for a place to talk.
We are not doctors yet.
We need to go to medical school to be doctors, Josh. Neither of us have the education background to be considered doctors.
We can still go back. I saw that Rodney Dangerfield movie.
I am not going to... What is that movie called?
I don't know. I think it's Back to School.
I am not going to Rodney Dangerfield my way into medical school. Sorry. Not right now.
I am. All right. At Def Jam, sour cream can replace mayonnaise in almost every application. This is simply a lie. I have tried. When I am out of mayonnaise, I have tried using sour cream. It does not have the salt content. It does not have the fat content. They are two completely different condiments that look somewhat similar because they both white and creamy.
I agree. I don't think sour cream can take the place of mayonnaise. It creates a different flavor profile when you add that tanginess. I don't think it does the same thing as mayonnaise. They want it to do the same thing as mayonnaise, but it doesn't do the same thing as mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm,
so they're just lying to themselves. They're lying to themselves to make themselves feel better because hating mayo is like such a personality trait. You know, it's not that important for you to hate mayo. Like, no one's going to hate you because you like mayo. So stop hating on mayo for no reason. It's really annoying and stop it. Just stop it.
Get her. Junkyard dog, baby.
Hating since 87, great name. Salmon raw tastes far superior than salmon cooked, no matter which way it may be cooked or seasoned. Okay, so one time I went to this sushi bar in Glendale next to this wedding boutique, and I forgot what it's called, but I had the best sashimi of my life there. Literally, I ate the salmon and it melted in my mouth, turned into water straight on contact. And that's my favorite application of salmon I've ever had in my life. So I agree with you. But also, people don't always have that experience with salmon. So, I don't know. I guess I just got really lucky that I had really good raw salmon one time that trumped all other salmon applications.
Yeah, the history, like, salmon has only been eaten raw. I mean, I know you have, like, gravlax and cured salmon. And I do love, especially, like, a good cured salmon. To me, it doesn't even have to be, like, smoked. Like, I just love cured salmon. I made my own pretty recently. But salmon as, like, a raw application in, like, sushi, sashimi, poke, all that. Like, it was literally from, like, a Norwegian salmon salesman.
We talked about this.
Yeah, so I'm always fascinated with these, like, new food discoveries that no one, you know, had for centuries until one guy was just like, let me try and make some money. Now we got opinions, like, salmon raw tastes superior to salmon cooked. I really hate overcooked salmon. It's absolute garbage to me.
Yeah, me too.
I remember the first time I had, like, a proper, like, mid to mid-rare cook on salmon, my mind was completely blown, and I love a good crispy skin mid-rare salmon that's just served, like, hot but still a little bit raw in the middle. Mmm. Juicy.
It's delicious. I love a well-cooked salmon fillet, but again, the best salmon experience I've had is that beautiful raw piece of sashimi.
One of the best pork experiences I had was pork sashimi.
Where was this?
It was good. It was at Koshan, that fancy pig event. The dude just had like a cured, it wasn't like, it was like, you know, a normal cure like you would do for salmon. It was like a kind of like salt cured like pork that he was like slicing directly off of, and he hit it with a little bit of like Maldon and a little bit of olive oil. Hot diggity dang, that was good.
Awesome.
All right. At Toasterhood, I eat Doritos with cheese, guacamole, and Tostito salsa. I don't like dipping Doritos into dips.
This makes sense. I understand this.
The dip is on the chip. You don't need the cheese with the Doritos because it's already cheesed. It's pre-cheesed for a reason.
No,
it's pre-cheesed. Josh,
are you saying the flavoring on the outside is the dip?
It clashes. I'm saying the flavoring on the outside clashes with the dips, and that's where I take umbrage with it. I will accept a hot sauce on the Doritos where you dump the hot sauce in the bag and you shake it, but I will not accept them being dipped into things.
I stand by your decision. We had a freaking manifesto about this last time, about and I swayed you. Remember last time I swayed you a little bit?
You did.
But I guess this one just cuts too deep. The Doritos just too deep, huh?
Yeah, don't touch my Doritos. Don't tread on my Doritos.
Brayden_M says, I will serve this in Mexico and it needs to be more popular. Mexican/Spanish rice plus banana. Okay, interesting.
Do you know what they call Mexican rice in Mexico?
Rice?
Yeah.
Arroz rojo? Arroz rojo? Con gondoles? With peas?
Gondoles, I think.
Gondoles.
Arroz con gondoles?
Con gondoles.
And that's like an islander thing, right? Like that's like
Puerto Rican or Dominican, yeah.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
I dig it. Do you think the banana they're talking about are like the platanos?
No, you know, I've seen like random, I don't know if this is legit or not, but like I think I've seen like mashed banana next to Mexican rice before, once or twice, like through like random like Instagram posts. I don't know about the validity of it, but if plantains taste good with Spanish rice, why can't bananas, right?
I agree. I fully agree. I love that little bit of like sweetness inside of the plate. I was really craving a Salvadoran breakfast the other day.
Oh, I had one at a place called Con Sabor in K-Town. It was nuts. One of my favorite things I ever did. The squeaky cheese?
You get the squeaky cheese and you get the crema. And it's not like sour cream. Like it's like that sweet Salvadoran crema. You get the plantains. Yeah. You get the beans, the eggs. Man, would kill for a good Salvadoran breakfast.
Oh my gosh. I've only been there once and it still resonates in my mind because I was like going on one of my solo trips, because sometimes what I like to do is I like to just drive in random parts of Los Angeles by myself and just have like a dinner by myself or a lunch by myself so I can clear my head. And that was my favorite one I've done in 4 years.
That's like the best way to experience the city too. Just like drive around and find a place. Like don't look at all the lists. You know, just drive around, find a place, and like jump into it. It's not always going to be good, you know, but neither are the places on the list that as well. But you know, you'll have some like fun experiences that you never would have thought you'd have. Chase and I went to this random, I like, especially along Burbank Boulevard, as you're like driving out to Van Nuys, there's just so many restaurants out there that serve so many different kinds of food. And one, because there's a lot of like Russian and Armenian and also like, you know, different like Latinx immigrant communities over there, and there are a lot of, I believe it's a Durangense from the state of Durango, and there's a place called Gorditas Durango, and they served like a Durango style hamburger that had like pineapple and ham and like you know, jalapenos on it and stuff, and traditional gorditas, which is just like, you know, really great. But it was a very strange restaurant. Chase and I were the only diners in there, and we had to rely on Chase's Spanish to get us through.
Nice.
We got at Anna Vales. My wife used to crunch up a snack-sized bag of Doritos and eat them with a spoon. That is because your wife is a classy lady. She's can't smart. Get Doritos covered on her finger. She got stuff to do. She eat them with a spoon.
Your wife is smart. I eat my chips with chopsticks sometimes because I don't have time to get my fingers dirty.
I thought you said you eat chips with chapstick.
I
was like, that's
chapstick.
Smart. You dip the chapstick in the Doritos. They get stuck on there. And then the Doritos are like an abrasive. You know, that kind of open up the pores on your lips. That's smart.
It is not
smart.
An exfoliant. It's not an exfoliant.
Exfoliant. That's abrasive is literally a cooking term. Like when you use like salt to grind garlic into a paste.
Yeah,
exfoliant. Well, it makes sense that I rub Crisco on my skin for moisture. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizadeh with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube, where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen. Josh, what's your address? I want to send you a panettone.
Yeah.
Don't actually say your address, bro.
Why? The people should know.
What are you doing?